ordinary times. Now, the church during the year has many seasons, special times. They have the season of Advent, then they have the season of Christmas, then they have the season of Lent, and then they have the season of Easter. But in all those other days and Sundays and weeks that are not associated with Christmas or Easter, the church says they are just ordinary Sundays in ordinary time. So we're in ordinary time, the 18th Sunday of ordinary time, except this is also August 6th. Now, August 6th, no matter if it comes on a Monday or a Wednesday or a Sunday, August 6th is a major feast in the minds of the church. We can understand Christmas, we can understand Easter being special, but August 6th, the Feast of Transfiguration, has in the ancient church been right up there with Christmas and Easter. And if August 6th falls on a Sunday, it becomes the feast day. The green vestments go away and the white vestments come out. Why did the early church see the Feast of the Transfiguration of Jesus as so very special? And the answer is this. The answer is that the church realizes all of its members are earthbound. We've known we are from the earth, and to the earth we shall return. We know that. We're earthbound. And we know that as long as there's been humanity, humanity means those that come from humus, the earth, as long as there's humanity, human beings can only know and see and understand and touch what is material, what is of the earth, which is material. And so it is very, very difficult for them or for us to even imagine anything beyond the material, what we can see and touch. But archaeologists and anthropologists have told us from all their studies that as far back as they can trace, almost every single society, even though they're earthbound, even though they're only able to see the material, every society had built into them some kind of instinct or suspicion that there was something greater than the material, something higher than the earth. And ancient societies had all different ways of describing what that mysterious other thing was. Some call it the gods, and other calls it God. And that's our tradition, that higher being we call as the one singular God who made all material. And even though we can't picture it, we sometimes, when we talk about God, we talk about him in our terms, because that's all we know is our terms. And we talk about him as a mighty person, a mighty king, a mighty emperor. But we know instinctively it's even bigger than that, beyond that. He's not a super person. He is a higher power, a higher being. And so we would love to see that higher being, but of course we can't, because we can only see with human eyes. And so do we have a chance at all at relating to that? And we do. It's that built-in instinct that there is a higher being, the divine, the God. And in the scriptures, we have all kinds of people who long to see, they want to see the divine, but they can't see the divine. So then they want to feel the divine, feel the presence of the divine, and that's what makes them spiritual. A lot of people today say, I'm very, very spiritual, but I'm not religious. But what does that mean? Well, if you're very, very spiritual, it means that you believe in this higher power and that you have a longing to experience the higher power. But in order to do that, you have to do things that enables you to be in the position where you feel his presence. And that's called religion. The things you do in order to feel the presence of God is religion. The practices you use. So, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, people did all kinds of things to be able to be in the presence of God. Now, in this feast day, Jesus takes three of his 12 apostles and brings them to the top of the mountain, and suddenly, without their expectation, he suddenly transfigures himself and he shows them, for the first time in scriptures, first time, Old Testament, New Testament, first time, he lets them look upon him and they see in him the divine. We would call it the beatific vision. He sees the divine. And it's overwhelming. It's a light that's blinding, which is really kind of strange to see God being blinded. But they see it, and they're just swept off their feet. And with that transfigured Jesus, there are two characters, Moses and Elijah. And they're from the Old Testament. Why those two? Because those two have something in common. Those two both climbed a mountain, the same mountain, but hundreds of years apart. Both climbed the mountain, Mount Sinai. They went out of their way, and they got to the top. And why did they climb the mountain? So that they could see God, the divine. And Moses says to God, I'd like to see you. And God says to Moses, anyone who sees the face of God cannot live. In other words, to see the face of God, you have to be removed from being earthbound. You have to be in a different realm. But he said, I will let you feel my presence. And Moses comes in the fire and the smoke and the light. And Moses is so overwhelmed, but he can't see God. He has to turn his face away from that experience. And even after that, when he comes down from the mountain, he is so affected, he radiates the results of having felt the presence of God, and the people could see from his face the radiation of light, divine light. Elijah climbs the same mountain many years later, and he says to God, I want to see you. And God says, well, I will pass by, but you can't see me, you can't look at me. Take your cloak and cover your eyes, but you will feel my presence. And he does. But this time, not in the smoke and not in the fire. It's in a little tiny breeze. And when Elijah feels the breeze, he feels the presence of God. In other words, God can come to us in many, many ways. In the dramatic, the fire, the light, the smoke. Or in the simple, a breeze. And those of us who are spiritual and religious, we develop means in which we put ourselves, as we live our lives, in the presence of a God. We put ourselves in circumstances that enables us, as best as possible, to feel the presence of God. And this is the best we can do. But we have the means. We have the means. We as Catholics, we have prayer and meditation. We have all those means. And we have the sacraments, which Jesus says, if you want to experience me, if you want to be in my presence, step into the sacraments. All the sacraments. But especially the Eucharist. Because I'll be there. In the bread and the wine will be my real presence. Step into that, and you will get as close as an earthbound person can get to feeling the presence of God. And we're going to do that in a few minutes. This is good. This is our holiness. This is our grace, to feel the presence of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.